929 is area code, huh? Podcast A Cup of JoJo War Drummer Ways, presented by thesportsoffensive.com. And today we have a pretty cool variety of guests, as we always do, huh, JP, on the Cup of JoJo?
Oh, we always have killer guests on the Cup of JoJo. and well, by the way, you said, here, are you going to have like a white hair and a gavel and start pounding on the table for me? What's going on over there?
Back in the day of my podcast, like about a decade ago, I would, about 9 years ago. Anyways, I would have, my setup would be my war drum.
Right.
And it would be like, you know, here, and then I would bang my mallet onto my war drum.
Gotcha.
But I didn't bring my war drum, so I couldn't.
Slacker.
No, Stitcher. Yeah. Everyone, by the way, speaking of Stitcher, pun intended there, it's because thesportsoffensive.com has all your pretty much your favorite ways to listen to the podcast on A Cup of JoJo War Drummer Ways or any of the other podcasts on thesportsoffensive.com. That's iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and Stitcher. And if you have an iPhone, then you go to iTunes, listen on that podcast app on your iPhone. Just click it right there. And all of it's for free, JP. All of it's for free. That's a good bonus.
100% free.
Mm-hmm. Pretty cool, everybody. But today, our first segment one. By the way, Matt, one of the Matts, okay, the Iroquois Matt, cannot make it in today. So I'm going to reschedule him for probably next Monday morning on the show for my Monday morning show, which is 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern time, give or take 30. 30 for 30.
Give or take.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what? I like take or give better.
Yeah. I actually do like that too. And because they remember that. Remember that bonus. You guys might get a surprise bonus coverage in the next 30 minutes.
You never know with the bonus coverage if it's going to happen or not. And I'll tell you what, some of the best stuff comes out in the bonus coverage because the microphones are off, but I'm still recording over here.
Yeah. Good stuff, man.
By the way, we'd like to thank Giorio's Pizzeria tonight for providing our dinner on lunch. I don't know what time it is already. For our dinner tonight, Giorio's Pizzeria, located at 3333 South Tamarack Drive, right next to Ace Hardware down there. So if you're in the Denver area and want an authentic East Coast slice of pizza, go over to Giorio's Pizza and tell them JP and JoJo from the Sports Offensive and A Cup of JoJo sent you down there. They're going to love you down there. I love that place. So go ahead, JoJo.
Yeah, if you're in the area right here, Southeast Denver?
Southeast Denver. You know what? I'd make the drive from Northeast Denver even to eat that pizza.
There you go. Right there. Good stuff, man. So we have Sting with String because our first guest is going to – I didn't bring the war drum. I did not bring the war drum, but I brought this.
Oh, boy. I got to clap for you, JoJo. I'm a one-man wrecking crew with the claps over here, so I don't have the crowd noise queued up yet.
So when we got here, everybody, so I could play different instruments as well. So I picture people doing their stringing with lacrosse sticks, and their lacrosse head specifically, whether they do traditional mesh or whatever, you know, hard mesh, soft mesh. We're going to get into a little bit more about the experts. I'm definitely not an expert on stringing, that's for sure.
Oh, I'm not either.
It'll take me a while to do one, man. But anyways, if that's your thing, and a lot of people, that's your thing, man, stringing lacrosse sticks, lacrosse heads for whatever position you like to play. And anyways, what I was doing that harmonica playing for is I'm going to bring that up more often, but I could picture like them stringing by the campfire and having some good time and good old school styles. Anyways, without further ado, man, a couple of JoJo War Drummer Raids, episode 9, segment 1. We have one Matt and one Big Sam on the horn. So who do we got on the horn right now? This is ImpactMouthGuards.com hotline today.
ImpactMouthGuards, okay.
ImpactMouthGuards.com hotline. Who's there?
JoJo, it's
JoJo,
Sam here.
Sam here.
Big Sam, how you doing, big man?
What's going on, man?
Doing okay, man. We're waiting. Matt Simpson's supposed to be calling on too, but we'll see if he's able to get on. If he doesn't, we'll get him on again. But he did confirm that he will be on. So, anyways,
tweet.
Yeah. That's cool, right? So, I want to do this about. I would think about once every 6 weeks. Get you pro stringers on and talk about your next ventures and everything like that. But this is the first one of it. And anyways, you're let everyone know where you're from and how you doing and everything.
Good. I live in Portland, Maine. I have a day job, but I've been stringing since I started playing about 25 years ago.
Very cool.
Very cool.
So you're probably okay at it, huh?
I think I'm not bad at it.
let everyone know like why, like what is like what do you do? Because Sam, I don't know if you know this, Big Sam, but I have a lot of people on my show that are new to lacrosse. A lot of people that are actually been lacrosse around lacrosse for a long time. The sport,
okay.
But people that don't even know about lacrosse that like to listen into the show just to listen to it.
Okay. So as far as stringing goes, what we're doing is we are attaching a pocket that holds the ball in the head. Now, based on how you throw. The pocket is going to affect the ball in some way. So we string pockets to make sure the ball comes out of the center of the stick all the time. And it goes where you want it to go. Now a stringer can only really do too much.
Because it really comes down to the player, how they play. Hopefully they're hitting the wall, practicing, and that's pretty much what stringing at its basis is.
And then so I have a question then for you. So everyone, there's different positions, and everyone that knows lacrosse very well, just hang tight, okay? Because we're trying to grow the game here and everything, so.
Yeah.
There's different positions in lacrosse. There's a goalie. There's attackmen. Their primary goal. A goalie, obviously, everyone knows that. They're the last line of defense as far as like not letting the ball pass through their goal line and their pipes of the lacrosse goal into the net or anywhere past that line. And attackmen are the guys that. Shoot the ball, swing the stick and shoot the ball and try to get it past that goalie. And then there's midfielders that's like similar to soccer. They go everywhere. They could go everywhere and anywhere except for obviously inside the goal crease, but at least legally.
Yeah.
And then there's defensemen and they could take up half the field just like attackmen. And they're trying to help out the goalie and their team. They're defending that area, that whole the whole half of the field of the area to not let the ball. Now, my question to you, Big Sam, is do string the people that want to play certain positions, do they go to you and are do you understand, like, I want my pocket of my lacrosse head this sort of way, because everyone's a little bit different. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. That's one of the greatest things about lacrosse stringing is that I've always told players, younger players, there really is no wrong answer. You can string your stick any way you want to, as long as it works for you. I have the fortunate ability to string a lot of sticks, use a multitude of different materials, so I know when someone says what they want, I know how to take that information and put it across a pocket. So each player, position, really, there's a great pocket, and then there's one that really isn't as good for that position. Most younger players want a stick that they can catch and throw it. As you progress through the sport, you really find your niche on the field, and that's really when you get to tinker with your stick and find the perfect pocket that fits your play style, etc.
Hold on really quick, Sam. Are you getting like
I think that's a cell phone.
Oh, okay. Everyone, it's not technical difficulties. Maybe Sam, are you on like a regular cell phone?
Yeah, there is a little bit of a delay.
Oh, okay, that's what it is. Okay, so it's just a little bit of a little bit of delay on, as far as the delay is going. Speaking of delay, do some attack men like some sort of like hold or hook or delay, so to speak, on their lacrosse sticks as opposed to more like other players? I know you said like whatever is good for you is good for you, but do you tend to get more? How can I say? Do you tend to get more from attack men and defenders one way as opposed to the other? Let all these stringers know, Big Sam, of your experiences.
Attack men generally carry their sticks more vertically. They're generally going to be more feeders and tight, so they're going to be shooting. They want really quick release out of their pocket. Whereas defensemen are going to obviously need a little bit more hook or whip, whatever you want to call it, in their pocket. Midfielders generally like a little bit more width because they're shooting from maybe 10 yards, 12 yards, 15 yards away from the goal. So they need that width in their pocket to hold the ball and shoot harder.
And then how is anyone more fun than the other as far as like even adding into the a goalie stick?
No, that's kind of the thing about stringing that I love. For me, it's very therapeutic. I love stringing for the individual. The best case scenario for me would be if I could meet somebody face to face, string a stick for them, and then watch them shoot, and then fine tune that pocket to what I see. So growing up as a kid, all I would do is in my backyard, I would take pockets that I had, and then I would adjust them, go out in the backyard and shoot, play wall ball, come back inside, make little adjustments, go back outside, and see how it changed my throwing or my shooting. So I love for all positions, including goalies, goalie sticks are some of my favorite.
So, okay, cool. There you go. So, a goalie stick, what do they like? Because they have sometimes they have to clear the ball from one end of the field all the way, like, to the midway line or even past that, and sometimes they have to run.
Right,
and
right.
Their pockets, there's pretty much no there's not any illegal formation of their pockets as opposed to other players on their team.
That's the most
difficult thing about stringing goalies because when we're stringing goalies, we really have to pay attention to how well the pocket absorbs the energy from the ball and stays in the goalie's pocket. Then we have to worry about how deep the pocket is and how well the player can get the ball out and thrown. So there's a fine line between how deep the pocket gets versus how well the player can throw with it. If the goalie can't clear the ball, then the pocket is only half as good as it could be.
And then your favorite. I know I asked about your favorites, but this was a touch different. Do you like stringing, or what do you prefer? Traditional mesh, traditional pockets, hard mesh, or what is your favorite?
So when I first started playing, I want to say it was the early 90s, mesh was just coming onto the market.
As far as I realize.
So most sticks were strung traditionally.
The first stick that I learned how to was a traditional stick.
And then I found mesh.
And it was hard mesh, traditionals are very difficult.
I struggle with them.
I'm not the traditional stringers.
There are way better traditional stringers than myself.
I find it easier to manipulate mesh than traditional.
Any particular type of mesh?
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I like soft, medium, hard, the harder the mesh, the more difficult it is to string to get a really good pocket. Soft mesh is easy to string, but the pocket flows all over the place, can be hard for a younger player to get used to. So generally, for newer players, I would suggest a harder mesh, and then as they get older and learn how to use the stick, I'd start transitioning off to men.
What about face-off guys? What do you think about the? I mean, face-off guys. Sometimes they're like, you know, what people call FOGO, you know, face-off get off. And there's some people that are face-offs that they keep playing the whole midfield area position and everything. Do you find it any of them siding to one other than the other as far as mesh types? Because I very rarely see, as far as I can recall, Big Sam. I can't even recall a face-off guy using a traditional style, for example.
Right. So for face-off, when they went down to the ground.
Face-off guys rely more on the plastic and the head versus the pocket and what it's strung with.
So a really good face-off pocket is really not a pocket at all. It's more designed to help the actual head grab the ball during the face-off and then have a very easy release because there are so many rules restricting how face-off heads are used. You know, now you only get one pop of the head once you win that face-off to get the ball out. If your pocket is holding the ball in the stick, that's an illegal pocket.
Yeah, they got a step, and then they got to pop it out.
So the face-off pocket, I think, are easier strung with mesh.
Now girl sticks are completely different because
you take the face off or the draw standing.
Big Sam, real quick, I had a real quick question for you. Do you have our show playing in the background of your phone call?
There could be music.
Just because we're getting like a double up of your voice coming through.
Gotcha. Hang on one second.
Okay. Technical difficulty.
We're just trying to figure it out, just to try to get a little cleaner phone call on the line here. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Is that better?
Go ahead, Sam.
Is that better?
Yeah, it sounds better.
Awesome.
There you go. Hey, Big Sam.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I don't know, man. So, how about I don't want to like give out any brand names or whatever like that, but like dyeing the heads, because the one thing that lacrosse is, so many things about lacrosse that separates it from other sports, and we could talk about that for 2 hours a day, 2 days a
right,
week for a couple of months. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But one thing in particular, as far as I'm thinking, is like dyeing the different colors of the heads and everything. Do you do dyeing as well?
I dabble a little bit in dyeing.
Dyeing is fun.
It's a form. I can do really easy, simple dyeing, like one color fade, that kind of stuff.
Hot glue dyes. I was a big fan of hot glue when I was in high school.
So you take a white head.
You cover it in hot glue.
Let the hot glue sit, and then dye the head.
And then when you peel the hot glue off, the rest of the color is the color of your choice.
Fun.
That is.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty fun.
And then you can dye the head different colors.
It's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun.
What players should be aware of.
Is dyeing can weaken the plastic of the head.
And it can also sometimes void factory warranties.
So 19 out of 20 people do not know that. Yeah, 19 out of 20 people do not know that. So explain more on that. You were about to. Go ahead.
So to dye a head, you have to merge it in nearly boiling water.
If you leave it in the dye for too long,
it could potentially melt the plastic if the water gets really hot.
If you're not paying attention to how hot the water is.
And then as you heat it up, when the sun gets into the plastic, over time, the UV rays will start to weaken the plastic ahead.
When you dye it, it weakens even faster.
Right, or potentially could. Chances are.
And then if you dye a brand new head and you break it the next day, and you try to return it to wherever you got it because it was dyed,
you probably won't be able to return it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. It's like you buy a pair of basketball shoes and you scribble all over them and make them look your own. You can't take them back the next day. They're not going to take them.
Similar concept, like if your toe blows out the front of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Fact's a fact, man. You can't take it back.
But it's so much fun.
Yeah. So in other words, if you have like a couple of extra ones and you want to dabble in that, then go for it.
Right, absolutely. Mm-hmm. If you don't care, then die away.
And the cool thing about how creative it can be, then you can mix colored string into your stringing
that make your head look even better.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So Big Sam, what is your favorite, like, say you're in a men's league and your favorite position to play, what style of stringing do you do on your own stick?
So growing up, when I first learned about lacrosse, I didn't know that there were different positions.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to my first lacrosse camp at UNH, and they started dividing the entire camp into positions. I was left standing there. And they're like, are you a midi or are you a defense? And I was like, I don't know. And they asked me if I liked to run. So I played midfield.
Yeah.
To my junior year in high school, I injured my leg and switched to attack.
I should have been playing attack from the beginning. It completely changed my play style. How I played the game, how I was on the field all the time.
I got really good at being defensive and whatnot.
Being as big as I am, I was also on extra man offense.
Being a lefty, I was also pretty rare.
Mm-hmm.
So I needed a stick that I could pass really accurate with. But then when I was on man, I could be one of the threat shooters, one of the big guys that could bring the heat.
So as I started to play with a little bit of my stick.
Because I enjoy shooting so much.
So your favorite shooting move is?
My favorite shooting move is time and room. Always.
Like maybe a skip from an attackman, normally I would always invert into a midi position.
Mm-hmm. So I was an attackman, but then when the ball came down to offense, I would be the right side.
Right.
So getting that skip across the field, wind up and drop like a 15-yard heater.
That was my favorite.
And then what about your favorite ways as far as accomplishing to get that timing room? A couple of your favorite ways to even get there.
That's going to be being able to realize where you're on the field.
Mm-hmm. Being able to read space. A lot of people don't think they have as much room as they actually have.
Right.
So being able to be sneaky.
Not only watch the ball, but watch the person defending.
If they're watching the ball, they're not watching you. So that's when you can make backdoor, move offline and find an alley somewhere.
That was always fun as well.
Me too. When I play attack, when I'm on men's leagues, I play every position but goalie. But when I play attack, I really like to be sneaky, man. So that's a lot of fun, especially at the X position.
As soon as your defender turns their head to see where the ball is, break off in the other direction.
And they have no idea where you are, wide open.
And it's awesome.
I'm always hearing the main guy that's guarding me. He's always like, man, will you quit moving around so much? And then the goalie's like, JoJo, you're all over the place. Take it easy, man. You're giving my guy a headache or something like that, you know?
So my deal was when I play in men's league, my deal with my defense.
You don't slap check me. And I will try and beat you one-on-one.
I like that. That's a good way to play in a men's league.
Right?
If you leave me wide open, that was your fault.
Mm-hmm.
If I sneak around your ball, that's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a good check or whatever,
that's my fault.
But I'm not going to try and beat you one-on-one if you don't throw big checks at my arm.
Man, slap and clap. Sheesh.
I got a mess of that in college ball.
Yeah. Hey, Big Sam. So say you're watching on TV or watching in person or somebody, your teammate. Either way, anyway, And you see somebody that it's most likely going to happen from a league that's in person. But you're watching a guy come around. Whether most likely it's going to be an offensive player, but you see them shoot the ball, and then there's just too much hook, way too much whip on there. Do you cringe?
A little bit.
if it's blatantly obvious that they can't control the hook in their stick,
then yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of kids think that because a player has a certain pocket, if they have that pocket, they'll be able to play like them.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right. So
if they see Paul Rabel play
and the pocket that he has,
they want Paul Rabel's pocket,
and they think that they'll play like Paul Rabel.
Or shoot as hard.
That is definitely not how it works.
Right. It's totally not.
So I would be the first one if I was able.
To maybe offer some suggestions, I'd offer to string him a stick.
Give him mine.
That's a little sad.
Some players think that a high pocket is the end all be all.
We have somebody else on our. But I don't know if it's my next guest or my. Hold on, real quick there.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, go ahead and get him on. This could be a cup of JoJo.
Is it Maddie?
I don't know. Might be Matt on the ImpactMouthGuards.com hotline. Matt Simpson, are you on the line?
That is me. How you doing, boys?
Matt, what are you doing calling in so late?
Oh man, I was just dealing with the fighting wars of traffic here in SoCal.
Oh, okay. Well, should we give him a pass?
We'll give him a pass because we have the Phillies Dodgers game on right now. I'm originally from north of Philadelphia, so I'm a Phillies fan, and there's no one at Dodger Stadium right now because I think the game started at 4:30 Pacific time. So I understand your SoCo traffic out there.
Yeah, it's a fight.
Hey man, we're gonna have to get you on again Monday because this segment is pretty close to closing. But until our next guest calls in, we could keep you on the ImpactMouthGuards.com hotline until our next guest calls in, which is Gary Goodrich.
Right on.
Until he comes on, let's keep on rolling. So Matt, I heard Big Sam call you Maddie. Do you like that? Do you like that, or what's going on with that? I didn't know about this, man.
I didn't either until right now. I've certainly been called worse.
I got the opportunity to meet Matt at Lack this past year.
Hmm. He's a cool guy.
Oh yeah, Lack's the best, and for people that don't know,
you definitely get to meet people that are just your heroes, and you find out they're just normal people that want to hang out and talk across.
Mm-hmm. I personally have not been JP, my producer has. I have not been.
I've been invited a couple of times, and I have not gone.
I always have something going on at that time that's family style related. Like three times actually, but this next year I think I'm going to make it because I've been invited, as you know, from. Rylan Hugue, legend Rylan mm-hmm. Hugue, and if Rylan Hugue invites you, I mean, how can you can't,
you say, can't
no.
say no?
No, you can't say no to Rylan, man.
Well, there's a lot of good reasons to not go to Baltimore in January too.
Yeah, let's see, the blizzard 3 years ago that I got stuck in would be one of them.
My flight got canceled on that one.
Yeah, mine did too, but I actually got on standby to a direct flight to Denver the next day after my flight got canceled, so I got lucky.
Mm-hmm. That's Denver. They said, let's get this guy out of here.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want JP in your town too long.
I mean, if you want to talk goalie stringing, talk to Matt.
Yeah. I noticed that. So Matt, we were talking about a little bit like styles of different positions and every positions of lacrosse, and you have strong a traditional mesh even and so on and so forth for goalies. What is your go to thing, or if you don't have a go to thing, what kind of style do you recommend for a goalie to use if they want you to string it?
My first recommendation is just a mid pocket width.
So whatever mesh people like.
Mm-hmm. A 17 diamond, 20 diamond goalie mesh is good.
As much as I love the traditionals,
and they look awesome,
it's not really practical for your full time gamer.
So it's heavy and it takes maintenance.
And if it breaks, then you're gonna cry.
and not cry with happiness, huh?
No, they're good for looking at, they're good for showing off. And if you can play with one and it won't break your heart, then go for it.
But for somebody who's playing in weekly games or a couple games a week in high school,
I would not recommend it for a full time gamer.
Well, you know, I beg to differ with myself there, JP, on the offensive, because the other team would be laughing with happiness, be crying with laughter.
Yeah.
So, Matt, any style do you think offhand, any style that you would recommend for, like, let's say, so and then Big Sam could chime in this after you're done. But, like, say you're in Southern California, which you are from, so you know the stringing there. But there's probably, juxtaposed to that, Big Sam, completely on the other side of the United States. You're southwest. He's way up northeast. So there's different types of humidity going on. And then where we are at, nearly the center of the United States in Denver, it's very dry out here. So different types require different kinds of stringing. I'm sure you guys get this. So what do you say, Matt?
My first recommendation is whatever's going to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
There's the rules that people have, attack high pockets, D have low pockets. But I've seen good D pulls of high pockets, and I've seen good attackmen with big gross bags. So I haven't had an issue where humidity had a big effect on performance.
Except for rain, but that's not really talking about humidity there as much as being soaked.
I recommend traditional, I think it's awesomer.
And you can be more precise with how you build your pocket, but nowadays, if you're building mesh, you can really be as precise with mesh as you can with traditional.
So that's the opposite of an answer of what I would recommend.
I appreciate it. And I dig that answer. So let's.
People say, what stick should I get?
And I say the one you're going to hit the wall with.
Oh, better get at it, huh?
The one you're going to put in your hands and actually use.
Yep.
So okay.
I have great looking sticks that don't work. and I've seen guys have ugly sticks, just loose sidewalls, and break all the rules, and they're great lacrosse players with them.
Crazy, huh?
In fact, I bet if you looked at most of the MLL guys, you could find something in their stick that's not within the string rules that you should do.
That's 100% true, but MLL has their own set of rules. Like they're still out that big U and everything.
No, I'm not even talking about legality. I just mean tight sidewalls, or strung to the inside, or having the love knot, or the P34 knot, or whatever silliness people want to call it. It's working, and then they're great with it. It's not wrong.
I think you know it's very interesting. Matt, because I think a lot of that has to do with their style and their tradition as of growing up, because obviously they were playing youth a long ways back when, you know, sew back, sew in. And that's the style that they got used to and so on and so forth. But now there's a new style with these. You can, the rules are a lot tighter and a lot stricter. So you can only do this and you can only do that. You can't do this and you can't do that anymore. So I think, like, say in about 15-ish years from now, it's going to be more set within the rules, even though Major League Lacrosse has their own set of rules. There's still going to be more of that style because they're used to that style. Do you know what I mean?
I think people always continue to string at the limits of the rules.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? People are always going to push the boundaries of what's legal within the framework of what the rules are. So the rules will change, and people will keep stringing to test the rules.
Matt, I understand you know how to string girls' lacrosse sticks as well.
I do my best, but there's in some ways more technique to it since the rules are a little more tight and the limits are a little more defined on what you can and can't do.
A kid is new to lacrosse, and what I mean by kid, like any age, pretty much, you know what I mean. And they're going to play midfield. Matt first, and then Big Sam. What would you recommend? Not just whatever you're going to use. I want you to get your head wrapped around it. Let your head grow a little bit. It's okay. You're on the sports offensive right now. It's okay. Let your head get big. Let it swell up. What would you recommend? What would you not only recommend, but sort of demand? You really should try this. Just for starters.
I don't know. I feel differently, but when I start kids out, I give them a really deep pocket, maybe three quarters of a ball. And I generally start people with just because they're not intimidated, and a mid pocket, three quarters of a ball deep, not overly channeled, and not super whippy, like maybe a minimum of a whip. So they have something to grow into. I've seen people start with really high end pockets or high performance pockets. That they can't throw with, and that's the only way they'll ever learn how to throw. And then they end up not being players or not really being able to catch and throw well. Because they're limited by this high end pocket.
So explain, I want Big Sam to chime in this too as well, but what you just said, but go ahead. Let Sam go, and then I want to get back to you, Matt, about something.
I'd say the exact same thing.
Oh, there you go, verbatim, pretty much.
For a newer, a little bit on the wider side, a really easy, simple set with them. A performance mesh of time that can handle wherever they let them roll.
If you give somebody a super deep pocket to start. Then they learn really bad catching habits. And because they're going to catch the pocket, it's going to stay. And if they learn with a shallower pocket or harder pocket, they have to have soft hands. And it makes them a better player in the long run.
So let's just say you guys agreed. Okay, yeah, I agree too. But not 100%. No, I don't agree. I must admit, I don't agree 100%.
Oh, we're not friends anymore.
hey, you know, a couple of JoJo Wardrobe ways. It is presented by the Sports Offensive, so you know we got to be offensive somehow.
Nice.
So check this out, man. We need more of that. So yeah, we do, JP. More cowbell.
Oh, that is one of the best skits ever.
So, let's say, and if you guys want to ask me why, then you can ask me why. But otherwise, we're going to go on to this. Let's say a midi is always attackman. Let's go with attackman. Attackman is always playing attackman. Okay, playing attackman, but then he needs to jump in as midi, okay, like in practice or whatever like that, okay? Does he say, hey, do I use my same style? Because it's a different style of play. It's a different style. Do you think he has to use the exact same that he goes with? Or,
yeah.
or do you think he should change up a touch and learn,
nope,
learn
nope,
a different style?
Thing.
No, go ahead, Sam. I want to hear what you think.
Go ahead, Big Sam.
I said the player should adapt.
Big Sam, we're losing your cell phone signal there. You're breaking up in and out. Right, now Big Sam just dropped.
Oh, dang it! He's getting bad.
Really bad reception.
Matt, can you feel it? Yeah, as everyone, you could tell Big Sam was getting bad reception.
I think what I started to catch Sam saying was that he would recommend changing the
player's
pocket,
but
maybe
change their mechanics.
And I would
agree.
Maybe not even change mechanics, just
build
their
lacrosse
IQ
to know
what to do
in any situation.
If their pocket is so dramatically built for one position that it won't work in another.
I think they don't have a very good pocket
to start with.
Oh, really?
It may be different in box, but I really think I play three positions somewhat poorly.
But I don't use a different pocket depending on what spot I'm in.
So what you're saying is you don't carry around three different sticks with three different pockets.
No, I carry about 17 sticks,
but they're all
they're not position specific.
Exactly.
I got to admit, I like different styles, man. What position I'm playing, I like different styles.
I've been a huge lacrosse fan, but I'm a little bit of novice at playing it because where I grew up in PA, the sport wasn't being played yet. Mm-hmm. Then I came out here and I started picking up the sports, but you know, I've got two bad knees and a bad back. I can't run. Mm-hmm. So I'm usually just throwing the ball against the wall down in our gym here, you know, by myself and just seeing how hard I can throw because I have nobody to throw to.
Mm-hmm. See?
I don't think the difference because of experience or age or knees or backs.
Nobody's going to mistake me for a young person.
Yeah, I'm definitely not young.
And I don't have position specific sticks.
Except goalie, of course.
Except for goalie, true. Yeah. Because their pocket can be. What different limits? No, not much. What's up, JP? Hey, do we have somebody else on the ImpactMouthGuards.com hotline? Hello.
Someone just called in.
Hello.
Is this Gary?
This is Gary Gooder.
Oh my! Hey, Gary. Let me wrap up the my guest that I have right now, and then we'll get right back to you. Cool.
No problem.
Yeah.
I'm going to put you on hold, Gary, real quick, okay?
All right, no problem.
Hey, Matt, we have to get you back on again. Probably Iroquois Matt is going to be on again, we believe, Monday morning. So if that's possible to get you on, but we got to get you on again. Is that cool?
Yeah, that's great. Great talk, guys. I appreciate it. And say hi to Gary for me.
We will do. But
yeah, but you know, JoJo, I got a real quick question for you.
Sure.
What about JoJo's hidden ball trick question?
Matt, okay. So I got caught off guard a little bit. So JoJo's hidden trick question is going to be for you, Matt. Since if Sam's not here, we'll get back him on the line sometime soon here in the near future. But you have to be ready for JoJo's hidden trick question.
I'm ready.
He's ready. Okay, Matt, your hidden trick question of the day is you're playing midfielder, okay? But you have a goalie stick. What kind of stick are you going to use, and why are you doing that?
I'm going to use my Team USA full traditional.
Because of Marty being weird, I might look good doing it.
I like that answer.
I love it, Matt. Matt Simpson, everyone hit him. Let everyone know your Instagram handle.
Thanks. It's 955 Matt. Please check it out. And hit me up with string questions or string answers. And whatever you want to talk about.
And look at everyone at JoJoWar_drummer, my Instagram, and then I have Matt and Big Sam on there as well, and just hit them up with stringing questions as well as the other Matt too. But we're gonna get you on again real soon here and talk more about this. Cool.
All right, sounds good.
Thanks, JoJo.
Right
on, brother. Have a good.
Thanks,
rest
JP.
Of the day.
Thanks, JP.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
Bye, guys.
Bye, bye. Everyone, this is a cup of JoJo War Drummer Ways. Hey, everyone. So check this out. We have MMA mixed martial arts legend Gary Goodridge, and his name is real. Okay, his last name is Goodridge, and that's not a made up name. That's his real name. That's JP. JP's my producer, Gary. Is that a cool name or what?
Goodridge? That is a cool name, yes.
That's a pretty cool name, man. Gary on the ImpactMouthGuards.com hotline, man. How are you doing? How are you doing today?
I'm excellent, thank you.
Very cool, man. So Gary, let everyone know, because I have a lot of people that listen to my show that not are just MMA fans, but they're like a lot of sports fans, especially lacrosse, the game of lacrosse. And there's people just like to talk and everything. Let everyone know from you, from the legend himself, on who Gary Goodridge is.
All right, there's a knock on your phone. Hello?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there's a bad echo on your phone.
Okay, I can't hear that.
Yeah. No. Go again. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, I can hear you.
What about two minutes after hear me again?
Say it again.
Hello. Two seconds after hear me again.
Oh, you're getting
whatever
an echo.
Whatever I say, yes.
Oh, he's getting an echo. Ask him, JP, if he's having his.
Do you have a? Are you listening to the show on another device while you're talking?
Myself, no.
Well, that's, I don't know what's going on that end then.
Gary, where are you calling from? What state are you calling from?
I'm in Barrie.
Because it showed up as ones.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so you get some kind of weird feedback from, are you calling from a cell phone?
I'm calling from my cell phone, yes.
Okay.
You said Ontario. So we might be getting some sort of international.
Yeah, just some kind of weird.
When that number came up, I was like, I've never seen that.
Oh. Yeah, our switchboard, I believe, Gary, I believe our switchboard is, we're in our hometown of Denver, Colorado, and our main headquarters is from New York, and you're calling from Ontario, so there could be some kind of strange delay. So
yeah,
only thing I could think of is just try to ignore it.
Because, Gary, because your phone number isn't 1111111111, right?
No, you're
being picked up by another signal carrier. Is why you're probably hearing that delay. Which there's not much I can do about that.
Are you on me to call back?
No, you're good. Are you still getting that feedback right now?
Yes.
Yeah, he's going to have it because he's getting picked. What's going on is he's calling international from country to country. So his cell phone is being transferred into a database, which is transferring it to our database. Into our switchboard. So he's not coming directly from his cell phone into our switchboard. He's being picked up by another carrier.
So Gary, what do you think you will be able to call back like hang up and call back from the same phone?
Yep.
Let's try it. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean that's
what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay, makes sense.
Because when all the ones came up, I'm like, that can't be a real number. But that's just that's a host number for some cellular carrier that picked him up from Ontario. And that's why I think we're getting that echo, because we didn't get that in the first interview at all, because they were calling from SoCal.
At least from Matt, but Woodscott, that was his own cell phone.
His cell phone was having terrible reception.
Yeah, on that part.
Yeah. And Matt, you know, our Big Sam is really bad. Matt, though, was fine.
He's coming out.
Yeah.
Maybe you can find one.
Okay, now we're back on the line.
Yeah.
Gary Goodridge, are you there?
Yes, I am. Much better.
Oh yeah. On my end, I can hear you even a lot better.
Yeah, I can
hear
you a lot better, too.
Yeah.
So Gary Goodridge, MMA legend. We were talking about who you are, because we have a lot of listeners that are not just MMA fans, lacrosse fans, and so on and so forth. But let everyone know about Gary Goodridge.
Well, I was born in Trinidad. I left Trinidad at seven.
Moved to Toronto.
And lived there for a year with my folks,
and then moved to Barrie.
I'm here at 52 years old right now. I started off in the UFC at 30 years old.
In Denver.
And I fought UFC one year, maybe two, and then I went to Pride. I got a lot of experience in Pride. After my six years. And then I spent another seven years with K1. And here I am.
And there you are, man, MMA legend. Let everyone know about you also did some arm wrestling stuff too, huh?
Yeah, before I started, I was 15, and I was a nine-time world champion, and picked up a lot of other challenges along the way.
That's pretty cool, man. You ever seen that movie Over the Top? How? Because I personally thought that movie was quite really cool. With Sylvester Stallone, what do you think about that movie Over the Top? Was it a lot of true stuff going on in there?
Greg Zomar, he's an actual good armor, and John Brzezinski, the little guy, was the champion at that time.
Wow.
Yeah, just quit. Stop arm wrestling this year, last year.
Oh.
Retired.
Wow, he hung in there for a long time. I'm surprised how old is
your
elbows and joints hang in there.
Wow, that's pretty
amazing.
Yeah, well, you're arm wrestling injuries. So this is bad.
Well, the boy that played Sylvester Stallone's son, his sister and myself, we were, when I grew up in Los Angeles, we were good friends actually for quite a long time. So that was pretty cool. Little fun fact there.
Good.
Mm-hmm. So let everyone know about your perspective as far as the evolution of UFC and mixed martial arts from when you were just going up into it, and like, how did you hear about it as far as like promotion? Because there was no Twitter or Instagram or Facebook back then, or not even MySpace, you know. But what do you think about how the progression is going from your own personal intake?
You got to remember back in the UFC, things have changed quite a bit.
There's also to protect the fighter.
And there's way more money now.
I fought three guys in one night, $10,000.
$10,000.
Three fights, one night.
Yeah. And these were fights not against.
I love the word it's gone. I can't stop watching it.
Nice, awesome. Well, you're an icon as far as mixed martial arts, and you're like one of the ones that were one of the guys you with Marco Huas and Boss Rutten and Frank Shamrock and all these guys, Ken Shamrock, you were one of the guys carrying the torch for these guys nowadays, man. That's pretty awesome stuff. You're part of good history.
All those guys, they're all champions. We're good, but we never won in the UFC. We've won fights, of course, but not some big. My big win was a three fight thing. A three fight tournament in Brazil. Back in 97.
Man, this is cool. This is really cool that we have him. Hey, Gary, let everyone know. Can you talk to everyone about we will get back to how much you're still loving MMA and your alma mater, so to speak, UFC, Ultimate Fighting Championship. But can you talk to people? Because I really liked that we talk about the fighters are being more protective. For example, Dana White and so on and so forth. They're doing what they can to be more protective. But a fight's a fight. And let everyone know what your feelings are as far as CTE.
Well, as you know, I've been diagnosed with CTE. It's never had anything for me. Talking about it. I think what they're doing is great. But they gotta follow up with what they're saying. It's hard to stop a million dollar fight. If somebody has a concussion. This is a tough thing to do, even for the fighter. It's hard to tell if he's hurt before the fight. It's just a tough thing. They have to come up with more ways to find out how people are hurt, and if they're hurt, because no fighter will say, "Hey, I'm hurt."
Nobody fights on the tight end. Every fighter is ready to go.
They gotta find out different ways how to track that. In my fights, all my injuries, very little of my fights. Most of the injuries happen training for the fights. If you're gonna fight a lion, you can't train with lambs. You have to fight with other lions.
Right.
And in fighting, training with those lions. There's where your concussions are. Because if you get a little dizzy, you get back in. You want to fight? And then you want to come to the fight, or you just want to win. Because we're fighters, we're not supposed to quit. We're not supposed to say we're hurt. We just want to go out and fight, and it's really not about the money, it's just about ego. But now the money's poured into it. It's a different story.
I don't know the story.
Mm-hmm. So Gary, where did you go to get diagnosed with CT? Because I know you probably have too many concussions that you can even remember to count. I'm someone that suffers the same way. I have so many concussions. It's absolutely ridiculous. So where did you actually get diagnosed with CTE? Let's let everybody know that.
I got diagnosed at the University of Toronto.
Okay.
Dr. Astrolani, a female doctor, diagnosed me with it.
And what
it's
are
hard,
what
it's
are
hard to um.
It's very hard to,
diagnose somebody.
Yeah, it used to be only post mortem. So, what are the tests did you go through to get that diagnosis? I guess.
Ran a bunch of tests with me. Balance, memory. They give you a week of running through
tests and coming back, and memory.
It's just Very invasive. It's just a great test.
And with that, to be diagnosed with TTE,
you gotta be dead.
Right.
To be 100%, but they're finding new ways, and tests are getting better.
Yeah, no, it's something dear to my heart because, like I said, I have that many concussions. I've got a cyst on my brain, and I'm reading up on a lot of the new stuff that they're doing. And it's very interesting to me to see what they're coming up with and so on and so forth. So to actually get to talk to you is you know, it's really exciting for me.
Gary, who is your favorite, like, not the favorite, but like a few of your favorite fighters in mixed martial arts nowadays?
Okay.
The hands down, John Jones.
Oh, okay.
All right. I like Wanderlei Silva.
I just like the guys that go out and try to win.
Not sit back and let things come to them.
The type of fighter I was.
Mm-hmm. It was. You were.
Yeah.
What do you think? I'm curious. What do you think of Justin Gaethje's style? Because he's an outstanding wrestler, but he prefers not to go there, but if he came down to it, he could. Do you think he should use that as well, or what is your thought on that?
Well, whatever's comfortable using.
Sometimes if you fight somebody
that's not good in your area,
you're quite certain you can take him to the ground.
Then you stand up as long as you can.
Hoping that you don't get knocked out doing it.
And then when things get tough, you take them down.
Have you ever watched that?
Gary, I'll be quite honest with you. I've seen your fights live as they happened. back in the day, I've seen your fights live and you were always one of my favorites. You and Marco Huas were a couple of my favorites too.
Thank you.
Well, have you ever fought with me and Marco?
Hey, Gary, this reminds me of something. You fought against.
No, you gotta answer me. Have you ever fought with me and Marco Huas?
I do not recall that one.
All right, he's big.
Was it Japan?
Huge man.
Oh, yeah.
Over three.
Okay.
Okay.
And probably six, five.
I'm very well decorated wrestler.
Now this man could have took me down at any second. Because he's that good.
He's as good as Tom Anderson.
Now this guy wanted to play the stand-up game with me.
We set up and came out.
I was expecting a shot right away.
But he stayed up and played the fighting game with me.
And in trying to play that, he got knocked out.
That was the fight I was supposed to win.
Right.
I tell you what, you stand up with Gary here, you're not going to win that fight. If you're a wrestler, man, you got to shoot a leg on that.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah, Gary, so what was your main martial art that you used more often than not? Your main discipline in your first fights in the UFC and Pride?
I had no bananas. I said I had all this things behind me.
There was one fight in particular that everyone was looking very interested to. I don't know why, but I cannot recall the guy's name. But I remember his mentor was Tank Abbott. And then I was thinking, okay, I think Gary Goodrich. I have my bet on Gary Goodrich going to get this one. I don't know how. I feel this young cat's going to. He's probably going to take a couple of good licks on Gary. But I do believe Gary Goodrich is going to win. Then you just took him down in those scissors and pounded away.
Yeah. A lot of people were thinking he'd take me down and be on top of me. I saw it different.
I like it.
Yeah.
Gary, a couple of your fights back when you were active in the UFC and Pride, when you were actually active in there, who were your favorite fighters then to watch? Like guys that you might even fight or haven't fought? Like you're like, wow, I really like this guy a lot. That I would like to fight him, or you know, so to speak. Who were those guys?
I like Ben Rosilva.
He came out the wall. I like that a lot. He did. What about guys like Keith Hackney and Remco Pardue and stuff? How about those kind of guys? Still good stuff though, right?
They're good. But I like the knockouts. I like people going for things rather than taking it easy.
JP, in other words, Gary doesn't mess around.
No. You're not going to mess around.
Hey, man.
My thought is that you only get paid for the first minute.
Everything else is unpaid overtime.
That is a very good way to put it, Gary. Very good way to put that. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Hey, yeah. That goes from back in the day until now. I mean, Wow, that's true.
Well, who wants to work with not getting paid?
Yeah,
that is true.
Right?
Nobody. Unpaid overtime.
I'll pay it over time, man. Unless somebody, you know, that reminds me though. There was this one, Gary. Let me get your take on this then, because I always thought about this one quite often. This hits the nail on the head. There was this fight in UFC. I forgot which one it was, but it was speaking of Marco Huas versus the Russian bear Oleg Taktarov, and I thought. I actually thought Marco King of the Streets, who else won that fight, but the judges saw it that Oleg Taktarov won. Now, then that was in the UFC, but then they went and fought it. I believe it was in Pride, and then who else could have won that fight many times throughout the long ring span, but he played with Oleg for quite some time. He was just punching him and getting out, kicking him, Muay Thai kicking him, getting him out, punching him, getting out, knocking him down, getting out. Because at the end of the fight, he said he wanted to take it that way just to show that he was the winner. What do you think of that? Do you think he should just went out and just finished it right away, or interesting, or just that's just totally different, or something?
Everybody has a plan until they get hit. So
Mark Uhas is not gonna play with them.
Nobody's gonna play with somebody else in a fight.
Because messing around and get caught.
Mm. Just like Sylvester said, you don't want to fight with me. So playing around, he played the buck, he got knocked out.
No fighter will tell you. If they tell you, that is bullshit. Okay. So in other words, he was more of like doing like, so to speak, like a
He was talking shit.
PG-13 today.
Think about it.
You want to beat him. You're certainly not going to bow. Your best thing to do is a kick.
You're going to stay out there and kick the hell out of him.
Uh-huh.
There's no way you're going to go to the ground with this guy. Let me tell you this. Oleg Titov wasn't a shooter. He couldn't shoot. He did it with me. He didn't do anything. Take me down. Every time I fought a wrestler, they always took me down.
The only one was Dan Bobich. So, Gary, let's talk about who do you think that was big back in the day that should have been, besides yourself, that should have been bigger and to get the title, because you were right there, man, winning the whole, like getting the belt, you know? Who else do you think that was like, man, right there? Kind of like Charles Barkley of the NBA. He could have won a title, but he didn't, but he was still good enough to. You know what I mean?
The untold story, I believe, is coming.
Mm.
He was a mammoth of a man. This guy was big as a house and strong as an elephant. And yet he didn't get a chance in the UFC. I trained with him, and I can tell you, it's for real. And nobody would fight him in pride. Nobody wanted to fight him.
Everybody asked money. Want to fight Tom Erickson?
Sure, give me $99,000.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah.
So everyone priced himself out, but no one wanted to fight Tom Erickson.
If you look back at Pride,
he hardly fought anyone.
Not his fault.
The untold story.
That is. Well, thanks for letting us know that, man. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Couldn't get a fight. Give me $99,000 or let me have a partner.
we'll both go at once.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, shoot, man. This is crazy, man.
No, that's a good point, because I know that there's a boxer, there's a middleweight boxer, and the name's eluding me right now, and complete badass, and everyone is ducking him and does not want to fight him right now because they're afraid they're going to get their knock blocked off in about a minute. But that's a great point, Gary, that you made, that, you know, he never got the shot because people didn't want to fight him.
Yeah. That's terrible. But you were in the opposite position.
Would you fight?
No, if I got a king's crown, there's no way I would fight a peasant. They kick my ass.
Exactly.
Oh shoot. Hey, Gary. So do you do any like seminars like around your area in town or wherever else, and if so, what else do you do as well? But let everyone know about your seminars.
I give seminars all over the place about CTE, motivational seminars, I talk to quite a few people about many things. I'm a fighter right now, looking for his first fight.
He's more than ready. Trust me, I've been a fight for 14 years. This guy's ready. So I'll just look for a fight for him. Other than that, what do I drink? I watch TV, and when I'm tired, I watch more TV. I love it. That's so cool. Do you want? Speaking of looking for Vi, what's your guy's name? Your predecessor there. What is his name?
Who?
The guy you're talking about. The guy that's ready to fight.
Ruslan. He's 21 years old. He's a fire.
What since nowadays there's weight divisions, like pretty much what are the couple of weight divisions that he would go for?
What division?
Oh yeah, like if there was two different weight divisions he would categorize himself for, or you would want him to categorize himself for, what two weight positions would he go for?
I'm a great believer of. You fight at whatever weight you're naturally at.
Yeah.
Because that's when you're strong. I don't believe in 30 pounds for a fight.
No, I agree. What would you put the limit at? Like, would you say like, don't you dare try to lose more than 15 pounds?
As hard as these guys drive themselves there and try to hydrate the night before. It's quite dangerous, actually.
I agree. Yeah.
No, you're 100% right with the danger about, you know, dropping weight and die. I grew up in a hotbed of high school wrestling back in Pennsylvania, where kids would get in a car, wrap themselves in trash bags, and turn on the heat on high and start doing sit-ups for as long as they can to make weight. And that's not good for the body.
Yeah. No, not at all.
Yeah, it's not.
I know a lot of people that take diuretics.
Yeah, no, you're right. Now, what's a good weight? Like, let's say you have a boxer at 160 and he wanted to jump up in weight classes. What would you recommend a fighter to do, and how far maybe they should jump up? Because what did McGregor go up to fight Diaz? He went up 20 pounds, 24 pounds?
I think that was similar. Like, I think his weight was usually around 165, 170, fought at 170.
Because, I mean, he was fighting at 149 for a while, I thought.
He drops down a whole bunch for that.
But what would you recommend, like, a fighter going up to, like, a limit?
It's hard to say. That was always heavyweight.
Gotcha.
Right.
Whatever your weight drops, that's your weight. But that's me. If I was a little guy, under 200 pounds, to me, they're all little guys under 200 pounds. If I was a little guy, I can probably jump around on them. But I don't like little people.
Easy, Gary. I fluctuate between 186 and 171, just depending on what time of year it is.
I hate watching little people.
Are you trying to say, Gary Goodrich, JoJo's got to ask you, man. Are you trying to say the show, not Alice in Wonderland, the Wizard of Oz is gives you nightmares?
Yeah, it does.
No, you're thinking Willy Wonka.
Or Willy Wonka.
I don't like little people.
That's funny, man. That's good stuff there. Hey, so. Anything else? How do people get a hold of you? You got to check out his Gary's Twitter handle. He has a link. Always, constantly throughout the day, he uploads very cool messages of inspiration and go get an attitude, positive attitudes and everything like that. Gary Goodrich, I want to say thank you for doing that for everybody to look at.
Gary Goodrich. I believe so.
Let's double check. What is it? Gary H. Goodrich. So this is Twitter, everybody. Gary H. Goodrich. Super cool stuff that Gary has going on, man. He just inspirational stuff throughout the day.
Awesome.
You know, 7 days a week, day, morning, night.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So if you need a good, you need a good look, hit me up. hit up Gary Goodridge's Twitter handle, everybody.
Well, it helps me.
I don't believe in him, but people that believe in him are positive, nice people.
So believe.
There you go. Quit believing the good stuff. And Gary, go ahead, JP.
I'm sorry, JoJo, but don't you have the hidden ball trick question for Gary here?
Gary. On a couple of JoJo Wardrobe ways. Oh, by the way, everyone, you can listen to this show. If you're not listening to this live, Gary, everyone can listen to it on demand through the sportsoffensive.com. And then right there's iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Stitcher, and it uploads within a couple of hours of the show, and everyone can check it out live. And if you have iTunes, if you have an iPhone, you can listen to it on iTunes.
And you can go right to iTunes from that link, too. Plus, we also have, if you look at the homepage, every episode of JoJo's last show is actually right there. You just have to go to thesportsoffensive.com. It'll pop right up. You just go to a cup of JoJo, War Drummer Ways, and hit play, and you're going to get JoJo's last show. And, of course, this show will be uploaded and up as soon as we can get it there.
And this will be episode 9. Hey, Gary, so what JP, the producer, is talking about is JoJo's hidden trick question. And on my show, I have a JoJo's hidden trick question for you. Tell me if you're ready.
Okay.
All right. So you have Jean-Claude Van Damme. You have Steven Seagal, Duff Lundgren, and you have Carl Weathers back in the day. And they're all ready for you to you're walking in a dark alley. But you could pick one of these guys to face.
Dolph Lundgren.
Carl Weathers.
Or Steven Seagal or Van Damme.
I wouldn't take Dolph myself.
I was going to say, I heard a fly could knock over Steven Seagal and what was the other? Two of those guys.
They can help me.
Yeah, John
Van Damme.
Help me out.
Well, as for fighting, I bet you they couldn't even lick their lips.
Dang.
You hit it right on the head. Yeah, I tell you what, man. I don't know, Joe. You put Steven Seagal and Jean-Claude Van Damme in the ring and they actually fight, I think they knock themselves out.
They knock themselves out?
Yeah.
Well, you know,
90 seconds.
To Van Damme's credit, he did have some professional kickboxing.
No, he did. I make fun of him just because I like you sometimes.
Gary, but they were good fun movies to watch. Gary, I want to see you. People need to get you in a movie.
I'm sorry.
People need to get you in a movie.
I would love that. I've done a few movies already.
I know.
I've done a couple of Bollywood. I was in the over-the-top show that we talked about.
A couple more movies, but they're all big with Gary. Movies are always big with Gary Goodridge in them.
Gladiator Cop with Lorenzo Lamas.
A couple other small ones.
JoJo, we're down to a minute.
Oh, hey, Gary, we have under one. We have approximately 45 seconds. Left on airtime. But yeah, all you people out there, man, you got to get Gary Goodridge on the. I haven't seen that movie, Gary, the one with you and Lorenzo Lamas. What's the title of that movie again?
Ten.
Gladiator. Oh man.
Very nice.
Yeah. I'm gonna find that movie and watch
it. Gladiator Cop.
Gladiator Cop. I get killed.
Uh-oh.
No, you're not supposed to tell us yet. Gary, thank you so much for your time. Gary Goodridge, you're the man. You're a legend. Thank you so much for everything that you do for mixed martial arts, for MMA, and for everything that you do now and everything that you did and continue. Your awareness on inspiration and everything like that and everything that you do, man.
The pleasure's all yours.
Another reason why Gary's awesome. Gary, I'm going to steal that line. That was so
every
rad.
Time, every time you use your 25 cents.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'll give you credit though. When I use that line, I'm gonna give you credit.
You like it? I like it, huh?
Yeah, I like it a lot. I like it a lot. The pleasure's all yours. Very cool, man. You should have. You could have said that to the guys that when you defeated them in the ring, huh? Oh boy, man. Very cool. Thank you so much for your time. It was an honor having you on. A couple of JoJo War Drummer Ways podcast, man. Thank you so much.
Anytime, man. Call me.
We will. We'll get you on again. We 100%. We will get you on again, Gary.
Sounds good.
Right on, brother.
Bye.
Thanks, Gary.
Everyone, thank you for your time. Remember, thesportsoffensive.com and all your listening pleasures right there. You go to episode 1 through 9. This was episode 9. And then you can find the other cool podcasts on either on iTunes or thesportsoffensive.com. Hey, before we get off, this is extra bonus coverage. We're going to be on the air for about another minute to about another minute and a half.
Bonus time.
Yeah, bonus time. Warren, give 2 minutes, a 2-minute countdown.
All right, 2-minute countdown.
Okay, so JP, let everyone know about thesportsoffensive.com because I know a couple of JoJo War Drummer Ways is on there, episode 1 through 9 now, but let everyone know that there's really cool episodes besides mine.
Okay, so we have the flagship show, The Sports Offensive, with JP and Mark on there, and we also have the Alien Offensive on
That's
there,
so
which
cool.
is Mark Ademus and Nate Dogg doing it. If you want to get a little nerdgasm, a little geek on, they're going to be talking Star Trek, sci-fi, Star Wars, everything that. So we're broadening our perspective here, and I want to announce that it's going to be Offensive Media Productions is the company we're going to go under, title under. So it's going to be Offensive Media Productions.
I love it.
And, you know, the
breaking
sports,
news.
Yes, breaking news there. Offensive Media Productions and the Sports Offensive obviously is the main show on Saturday mornings, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. A couple of JoJo's on from Mondays, excuse me, 1 p.m. Eastern. And on Thursday nights, we are still moving the times around a little bit. Mm-hmm. So always check back for further details. The Alien Offensive is a show that gets uploaded. Nate and Mark do that on their own time. That is their little baby because those guys love those movies. I'm a big Star Trek guy.
I love them all too.
Yeah.
I think you and I should be guest hosts once in a while.
Well, you can get, I don't know. I wouldn't be able to hold the conversation. I could talk Star Trek all day, but that Next Generation is what I could talk, not the old Star Trek. But Offensive Media Production. So go on the website. We got a lot of cool guests that we just had on, Uganda Lacrosse, Cody Unser of the Unser family. And listen to all the shows. We've got a really wide variety of stuff going on right now. Really proud of what we've all come together and put together. I know the Glendale Raptors, a professional rugby team, has reached out. We've got their coaches clinic ad up there that's going to happen on June 15th and 16th here in Glendale for coaches to come into town and get professional coaching tips from the pros from all levels, high school to, you know, peewees to college, so on and so forth. So we got a lot of cool stuff coming up.
And I want to give how much time do we have? Like about 30 seconds?
We got 30 seconds.
Okay, so I want to give I can't wait till the next show already. Monday morning, we have a cool lineup of guests. A couple of JoJo War Drummer Ways, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Monday. So that's 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Mountain time. So what's that? So 10 to 12 p.m. Pacific time.
10 to 1.
Just 10 to 1. Just go to thesportsoffensive.com and be ready for episode 10. It's going to be cool. But one last shout-out. We got 10 seconds. One last shout-out for our pizza guy.
Giorgio's Pizza. They supplied us with our food tonight. And Chris, the intern, is actually – it's his dad's family business. I want to thank them once again. It is so good. If you're in the Denver area, they're at 3333 South Taramac Way, right next to the Ace Hardware and Extra Innings Bar right down there by Target. Get over there. They have a full Italian menu. If you want to get your East Coast – food on, you have to go there because they got it all. The closest you're going to get to the East Coast pizza that I can find down here. So if you're in Denver, go to Giorgio's Pizzeria, 3333 South Tarmac Drive.
We're about a half a mile east of I-25
yep.
and Hampton.
Yes.
Okay, everyone, thank you so much. Talk to you soon, man. Catch you on the fly.
Offensive, out.
I got wild history.